Hello, and welcome to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. When life gets complicated and you start to feel overloaded and sluggish, it's time to hit the reset button. Today we continue with a series called Resetting My Life. In this series, Pastor Rick looks into the Bible and shares the steps you can take to reset your life and experience positive, lasting change. In just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how you can get the purpose-driven life selected thoughts and scriptures for the graduate, a hardcover book that will help the graduate in your life. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called Making the Hard Changes in Me.
In this series, Resetting My Life, we're looking at the biblical principles for personal change. And these are the principles that you need to know to change any area of your life for the better. You may need to change your connection to God. You may need to change your health. You may need to change your body, your relationships, your habits. You may want to change your energy level. You might want to change your job, your career, your work. You might want to change a reset in your marriage. You might want to reset in your priorities, in your parenting, or change transformation in your schedule or your self-confidence or, you know, just on and on. Your reset in your finances. Regardless of where you would like to see a major change in your life, today I want us to look at making the hard changes in me. Making the hard changes in me. What I'm talking about this weekend are the areas of your life and your personality that seem to resist all efforts to change. You know what I'm talking about. The stuff in you, you don't like about you, but it's stubborn. They're persistent problems in your life. You haven't had these for a few weeks. You've had them for years. And the parts of your life that you really don't like about you, but they rebel and they resist at any time you try to change them, correct them, reset them in your life. I want us to consider two very important questions. First, why is it so hard to change some stubborn areas in my life that I don't like about me? Habits, patterns, ways of relating to people, habitual weaknesses in my life. Why is it so difficult to change those problem spots? And number two, what does God say it takes to change them? So we're gonna look at why it's difficult to change some defects in our lives, and we all have them, and then we're gonna look at how. First, let me give you four reasons why it's difficult to change some of those stubborn patterns, habits, and defects in your life that you don't like. Number one, because I've had them so long. I've had them for a long time. You see, you didn't get the way you are overnight. It took years to get messed up in many areas. And many of your patterns actually were established way, way back in childhood. And those patterns helped you cope with trauma and stress in your early years when you didn't know how to fight back. Some of your self-defeating patterns were actually survival tactics as a little kid. Now, today you may realize those don't work. They were self-defeating. They only make the problem worse, those habits and patterns. But you still have them in your life. Why? Because they're familiar. They're like old friends. You know that they're not good for you. You know they don't work. You know those habits and patterns cause problems and conflict, but you're used to them, okay? You're used to them. So some things are hard to change because I've had those problems for a long time. Second reason, some things are hard to change in my life because I identify with them. Write that down. I identify with them. And the fact is, we often confuse our identity with our defects. All the time. We'll say like, I am a workaholic, or I am passive, or I am aggressive, or I'm timid, or I'm an overeater, or I'm lazy, or I'm whatever. Complete this sentence 10 times. It's just like me to be. Finish that sentence 10 times and I'll tell you what you think of yourself, what your identity is. It's just like me to be this or that. But those things, those defects, they are not your true identity. They're not your true identity. They are hiding your true identity. Now, when you see yourself in certain ways, what happens is you set up a self-fulfilling prophecy. You say, I'm always nervous on planes. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be nervous on planes. And unconsciously, sometimes we fear, if I change, will I still be me? Because I've been this old me for so long, will I still be me or will I be something different? So some things are hard to change because we've had them a long time. They're old habits. Some things are hard to change because we identify with them even when we know they're self-defeating. Number three, sometimes things are hard to change because they have a payoff. They have a payoff. Now, anytime you do something over and over and over and over in your life, whether it's good or bad, helpful or unhelpful, healthy or unhealthy, there's a payoff behind it some way. An emotional payoff, a relational payoff, some, you get rewarded for that defect. You get rewarded for that bad habit in some way. And listen, whatever gets rewarded gets repeated. That's true in parenting. It's true in the workspace. It's true in a marriage. Whatever gets rewarded gets repeated. Listen, we don't continue to do things that aren't rewarded. So even if I'm doing something unhealthy, unhelpful, or even self-destructive, there's some kind of payoff in some way, and I better figure out what it is, because until I know what the payoff is, I don't know how to fight that negative behavior. Anytime any negative behavior is being repeated by yourself or by your spouse or by your boyfriend or girlfriend, by your parents or by kids or by somebody at work, there's always a payoff, even if it's only temporary. Now, I can give you 1,000 examples. Sometimes mom learns to yell to the kids to get them to come to a meal. Get down here, kids. It's time to eat. It's time to eat. They don't come. Kids, it's time to eat. You know, get down here. It's time to eat. And you know what? Then the kids show up. Guess what? They have just rewarded the yelling. And subconsciously, mom is learning yelling works. Nothing else did. When I said it politely, they didn't come to dinner. So guess what? It becomes a habit. Get down here. It's time to eat. You see, maybe my defect, maybe my habit, maybe my pattern, that stubborn part of me, is masking my real pain.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. If you've missed any part of today's teaching, you can listen online anytime at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
Hi, this is Rick Warren, Bible teacher for the Daily Hope broadcast. Did you know that because of Easter, your past can be forgiven, you get a purpose for living, and you can have a home in heaven? That's good news. Where else can you get that kind of news? Nowhere else. And did you know that at Easter, studies have shown people are more open to an invitation to go to church than at any other time of the year? Don't go to church by yourself, but bring somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ. A family member, a friend, a coworker, a neighbor, a relative. And if you bring them to that church service and they come to know Christ, you're going to be making a friend for eternity. It'll be the most important investment you can ever make in their lives. And by the way, if they come to Christ, would you let me know about it? I'd love to hear that story that you brought somebody to Easter and they found Jesus. You can write to me, rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. I would love to hear from you. God bless you and happy Easter.
Do you know someone who is graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or a family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life, Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. You can call 800-600-5004, or you can visit PastorRick.com to get yours. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or 1-800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
Maybe my habit, maybe my pattern, that stubborn part of me is masking my real pain. Maybe it's giving me an excuse to fail. There are lots of reasons you can repeat negative self-defeating behavior. Maybe I'm compensating for some unresolved guilt. So I'm punishing myself by doing something I know that's not good for me. Maybe I'm compensating for shame or for pain or for fear or for panic. Or maybe I've found it useful to control other people. There are lots of reasons that we often don't know why we do what we do. But when you figure out why you do what you do, then it's going to be easier to change. Sometimes we do stuff that's negative just because it gets us attention. And if I can't get approval, at least I'll get attention. Kids learn this one pretty quick in life. If I can't get approval, I'll get attention. And they dress in stupid ways and do stupid behavior. And it's all subconscious payoffs for self-defeating behavior. So sometimes stuff that I want to change in me that I know isn't good for me, but I still keep on doing it. I've done it a long time. I identify with it. And there's some payoff that's allowing me to keep on doing what I'm doing. But there's a fourth reason why some of your stubborn long-term patterns and ways of relating are resistant to change. Here's the fourth reason. Because Satan discourages me. You're not in this battle by yourself. He wants to keep you stuck in a rut. He wants to keep you down. He wants to keep you from becoming the woman God made you to be or the man God made you to be. And one of the things he does is he uses self-doubt, criticism, accusations. Did you know Satan is accusing you constantly with ideas? The Bible calls Satan the accuser. In fact, that's what his name means. Okay, he's the adversary. And he's constantly suggesting negative thoughts like, you're never gonna change. Are you kidding me? How many diets have you been on? This is hopeless. You're never gonna change your marriage. You're never gonna change your relationship to that child, to that neighbor, whatever. It's hopeless. It's not gonna work. You may as well just as soon give up. Where do you think all that came from? It didn't come from God. It came from Satan. And sometimes you secretly fear. These are all reasons why we have a hard time changing the hard parts in us. Sometimes you fear, if I rock the boat, something bad is gonna happen. My husband or my wife may leave me. People will walk out of my life. And maybe at school, nobody will like me anymore. So these are all things that we have to deal with that keep us holding on to stuff that isn't helpful at all in our lives. So, what does it take to change? Well, I introduced this topic last week when we talked about how all change starts with choosing what you're going to think about. All change starts with choosing, and it starts in your mind. Every change starts between your ears. Before it changes your emotions, behavior, starts in your mind. Now, if you missed the first 2 weeks of this series, you've missed the foundation. So really, go back online and watch the first two sessions. But here's what the Bible says. Notice there on your outline. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 27, says this. Since you have heard all about Jesus, and you've learned the truth that is in him, throw off all your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, and full of lust and and deception. And instead, there must be a spiritual renewal of your thoughts. We talked about that a little bit last week. Spiritual renewal of your thoughts. You must put on your new nature because you're a new person. This is a resetting of your life. Created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. So, put away all falsehood. That's the lies that you tell yourself. Put away all falsehood and tell your neighbor the truth because we belong to each other. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. Now, in the rest of this message, I want to show you very quickly four biblical principles that you have to follow if you're going to be serious about making changes in your life. Any big changes, or more important, any lasting changes. You can change anything for a week or a day, but I'm talking about changing it for the rest of your life requires four things for lasting personal change. All right? You might write these down. This is what God's word says. First, change requires learning and facing the truth. Learning and facing the truth. Change always starts with truth. You can't have positive change on negative ideas and on lies and mistruths. Change always starts with the truth, but there are two important parts of it. Learning the truth and then facing the truth. There are two different things. Now let me show you a bunch of verses. Here's one, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23. Learn the truth and never reject it. That's the two things. You gotta learn it and you gotta face it. What's the opposite of rejecting? Facing. It's accepting, it's admitting, it's acknowledging. You learn the truth, but then you also accept the truth. You act on the truth, you acknowledge the truth. So a lot of times we know the truth, we don't know anything about it. A lot of times we know the truth and we reject it. The secret to personal change, listen, is not willpower. Willpower works for a while, but it wouldn't work for the rest of your life. It's not about pills that you take to change. It's not about resolutions. It's not about a gimmick. It's knowing and facing the truth about you, about God, about life, about problems, about your family, about your past, about growing up. Jesus said, when you know the truth, you know this, the truth will set you free. So here's the first problem, because if the first step to permanent lasting change is to learn the truth about me and then accept and acknowledge and face the fact about me is this. We often don't want to do that. We don't want to learn and face the truth. Why? Because the truth is often uncomfortable. Some smart aleck said, the truth will set you free, but first it makes you miserable. It's true. It's true. It's often painful to face the truth about me. And we would rather stay deluded. We'd rather stay in our little happy, but mythical, it's a fairy tale land, that everything is copacetic, everything's great in my life. You know it's not great in your life. But we live in denial, and we're not facing the truth. Isaiah chapter 30 says this, verse 10. People say, this is thousands of years ago, they were doing this. They're living in denial. People say to God's messenger, now who's the messenger? A teacher, a preacher, a prophet, whatever. People say to God's messenger, don't tell us the truth. Just say things that will make us feel good and things we want to hear. This is tickling the ears. Let us keep our illusions. Now, I could really go to town on this verse, but I'll tell you this. If you only watch one channel of news, you're saying, tell me what I want to hear. You're not necessarily hearing the whole truth. You're hearing the truth you want to hear. And let us keep our illusions, because you're afraid to hear an opposing view. You don't want to hear views. Now, let me say to all you kids, pause. Your mom is often God's messenger to you, and you need to listen to her. And even when she says something that you don't particularly want to hear, it's not particularly pleasant, tell me something I want to hear, Mom. Not what I don't want to hear. When you don't particularly want to hear it, it's still the truth, whether you want to hear it or not. So you need to listen to your moms and your dads, by the way, because they are often God's messenger to you. But I know all the parents sitting back go, you tell them, Rick, get them, tell them right now. Just as quickly, I need to say to you moms and you dads, sometimes your child is God's messenger to you out of the mouth of babes. And sometimes God wants to say something to you through that little voice or even that teenage voice. Sometimes God wants to speak. It works both ways, guys. It works both ways. God can use anybody in your life to be a messenger. They may not even be a Christian. They may not even know God. God can still suggest words in their mouth and they're the right thing.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Now, if you missed any part of this message, or if you'd like to find out more about Pastor Rick Warren and this ministry, just visit PastorRick.com, where you can listen online anytime. That's Pastor Rick with two R's in the middle.com. And be sure to sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional while you're there. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, do you know someone who's graduating this year? Maybe it's your son or daughter, a grandchild, or perhaps a neighbor or family friend. As you celebrate this important milestone and they begin the next phase of their journey, they need to know that God created them, loves them, and has a plan for their life. That's why Pastor Rick created a special resource just for graduates called The Purpose-Driven Life: Selected Thoughts and Scriptures for the Graduate. Filled with inspirational scripture, biblical wisdom from Pastor Rick, and beautiful imagery, this unique hardcover gift book provides a priceless reminder of the bountiful life God has planned for your graduate, and it will inspire them to seek His unique plan and purpose for their life. Don't miss this opportunity to minister to the graduate in your life today. We'll send you a copy to say thanks when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
You know, one of the things that really thrills me is when I hear from you and you tell me that you're sharing what I'm sharing with you with other people. In other words, you're passing it on. That makes us partners in ministry. Today, I want to share with you a note from Ty, who listens regularly to Daily Hope, and then he passes it on to others. Here's what he wrote me. Pastor Rick, in today's podcast, you asked for listeners to share with you who we have introduced Daily Hope to. Well, I've done that a lot. I've shared your messages with dozens of men at the recovery ministry of my local church. And after completing the program myself, I'm leading the next group of believers walking through the 12 steps of Celebrate Recovery. And I usually have some wonderful insights to share that come to me from your Daily Hope messages. I'm also recommending your messages to my father, who is now a fervent listener as well. We call and we text each other often to discuss what we're learning. He says, Rick, my father recently gave me a signed copy of The Purpose-Driven Life as a gift to commemorate my 1 year of sobriety. I consider it a prized possession, and I display it proudly in my office. Well, Ty, God bless you, and thank you for your note. I'm just so glad to hear about what God is doing in your life, in your relationship with your dad, in your sobriety, in your steps of recovery, and in your ministry to other people. This is what Daily Hope is all about. We're in this together. I help you through these broadcasts so you can help others. Good work, my friend.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.